All right, guys, welcome back to Return on Podcast. I'm Tyler Jeffcoat, and I'm glad to have you on today's episode. I'm actually excited. I get to talk with Danan Coleman of TraceFuse today. I was unaware until very recently how sophisticated some of the black hat tactics have become to attack our listings on Amazon, to harm our ranking, and to therefore harm our sales and profitability. And I've been aware for a while about our partners, you know, in the refund management space, companies like Getida, right, that'll go in and help you find lost money if Amazon loses inventory. But I didn't know that there were outfits out there that used completely white hat tactics to fight abusive reviews, abusive one-star reviews on your listings, or potentially TOS non-compliant five-star reviews on your competitors' listings. And so I brought in Danan today because I wanted to pick his brain, understand what's evolving in that space. And so I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. He's a really interesting dude, has a lot of fun in terms of his hobbies and his family. And so without further ado, I'm going to dive into today's interview with Danan Coleman of TraceFuse. It's time to maximize profitability and cash flow. It's time to learn habits and hacks from the best e-com CEOs. It's time for Return on Podcast with me, Tyler Jeffcoat. All right. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my friend Danan Coleman from TraceFuse now. Danan, how you doing, man?
Good. I'm doing awesome, man. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
Dude, this is one of those happy new years that we were laughing before we hit record here, where like sometimes life happens, like we're busy, I'm grateful, business is good, family is healthy. I'm back on the fitness kick, right? And then I like hurt my ass trying to like whatever stretch afterwards. Like it wasn't even the lifting. It was like the post-mortem of the lifting where I'm like, oh man, now I can feel every breath for a couple of days. But other than being an old ass man, things are good, buddy. How about you?
Good, good. Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah, kids are doing well. I've got three of them. They're 5, 3, and 1. And so, you know, having them in school is like, all right, who's going to come home with some disease today? You know?
Yeah.
And so
there will be a bug. The over under on there being a bug is that there will be one. The question is, which one are we going to get this time?
Yeah. Is dad going to catch it? is the baby going to sneeze in my face or not? You know?
Yeah, dude, I love it.
Yeah, it's going awesome. Works, you know, working with TraceFuse and all the sellers is, I dare say, the best it's been because of how many I get to help, which is a real passion of mine.
Love it. So something I was noticing is that you and I have been kind of swimming in this Amazon FBA pond for about the same, like, you know, last 6 or 7 years or so. And my question for you as we kind of launch this discussion. So first of all, to tee this up for you guys, we're going to talk about some really practical things that you can do to improve your account, to make your Amazon selling experience better, more profitable, take care of some bad guys that are attacking you. But let's kind of start a little bit with what you think is happening in the space here, Dana. What's the mood right now, man? What are you seeing evolve since, like, you know, your beginnings in 2018 to now, and where do you see the marketplace going?
The age old question. So I just have to make a minor correction. 2018 is when I got into the software side, but I've been selling on Amazon since 2010.
Okay. Well, bro, you're OG. So like you've seen like versions 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, and now we're like maybe in 4.0.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I got started, FBA was a pilot program. The ads, FBA was invite only, and the ads was a pilot program. I didn't even know about it at that time. You only had to have one picture. You didn't have to have a picture to have a listing. And if you had a good picture, you cleaned up, man. And those days are long gone. So to answer your question on where do I see it? I see it evolving. I think it's always going to evolve. And I think it's also always going to become a more sophisticated space to work in. And you're going to have to know more. So the me that started in 2010, the knowledge I had back then is not irrelevant because back then it's always about the basics. It's always about your platforms, in my opinion, right? If you don't have a good listing, you're going to spend extra money on low conversions and bad traffic, right? On PPC. And you're just not going to convert that well. So I'll always say every year somebody asks me, so what's your tip this year? Like fix your listing, make it good, you know? But my answer to your question is it's just evolving like it always has, you know? And if you're not evolving with it, you're going to be, the evolution will cut the legs off of you that you think you still need, and suddenly you don't have those legs, you know?
I really do think you're hitting something that's important there, where when I talk to Amazon sellers and we're like, what business are we in? We really are in the business of evolving quickly enough to keep up with the marketplace. And, you know, to your point, like version 1.0, I guess, was just Bezos or whatever. But, you know, back in the day when you're talking about when James Thompson was picking up the phone, begging people to get on the platform, would you please, dear God, would you please sell on Amazon? We'll do anything for you. We'll shine your shoes, right?
Yeah. And, in his garage, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. It was literally, he probably had a direct, he had Bezos on speed dial or whatever it was, right? It was at a point where the business was fledgling, and being first to market gave you so much of a competitive advantage. Sometime around 2014, you would know the dates better than me, but like advertising kind of became like an important thing. And then they opened the platform to the Chinese sellers. And then all of a sudden you've got more sophisticated branding. And now we have a pandemic that created a supernova, capital markets flooded. And now we had the like regression off of that, like cocaine high of the pandemic supernova.
And then they eliminated a bunch of those 34,000, if I'm not mistaken, Chinese sellers. And now since the advent of Shein and Temu and TikTok, they're inviting them back.
Isn't that interesting? So so maybe just to wrap up that part of the discussion, what's true now about succeeding? You know, if I'm a private label brand owner or seller on Amazon, what's true now that needs to have my attention that maybe wasn't on my radar 2 years ago?
Probably your investment of time and effort, not necessarily time, but effort, because you can outsource a lot of what you do. But I would say that, you know, when I said it's ever evolving into, from us as a third party seller standpoint, into more and more of a legitimate business where we have to have certain things in place, right? And so I would say, gosh, there's a lot of different roads I can go down here. And I will tell you what I do. I don't like to spend time on Amazon. And so we have set up our Amazon. We don't run ads. We haven't run an ads campaign in like 7 years. And that's not a recommendation, everybody. Not a recommendation, okay? This is just how I operate because this is how I like to operate. You know, all we do is replenish inventory because we have exclusivity to a brand that we know has high search volume on Amazon, and that's it. We don't run ads. We just know that those people are searching for that. So our conversion rate's extremely high. Our ratings, all things considered, after being this product's eight or nine years old on Amazon, it's a 4.6 today, just down from a 4.7. You know, it's like, and this is supplements we're talking about. So, always invest into your business, and then if you can outsource what you are comfortable with, outsource what you're not comfortable with, and see how it goes. But. Yeah. I hope that answered the question for you, Tyler.
I think it's good because I think where, you know, and it's something we hope people get from this podcast a little bit, is that there are elements of your business that really obviously demand your attention. Like you've got to place the PO to order your inventory. You have to do the initial product design. You know, if you're at this point, if you don't have the right images or listing bullet points, you're just not going to get any conversions at all on Amazon. That stuff is kind of the front of house stuff. That stuff is kind of noisy. It's squeaky. It gets a lot of our attention. And the parts of the business that are what you described as being, hey, these next level sophistication things. Now it's not just throw an image up and you sell products. Now I've got to actually be better at operating this business than my competitors. Well, in that case, there's some back office things that are not going to be as squeaky, not as noisy, but they still deserve more of our attention. And one example of that is kind of what we do here at Seller Accountant, right? We've got to understand our financial performance better than we used to, because winning is winning at the margins. And then the other one, and I think the one that I'm interested in digging into with you a little bit is what TraceFuse does. This idea that we have sophisticated bad guys attacking our businesses. So maybe let's start by talking about that. Like, what are you seeing in terms of the bad players and the kind of the impact that's having on Amazon sellers right now?
Yeah. So I think a slightly dangerous statement to make, but let's just say that there are always bad actors in any space where there's profit to be had, right? So I'm not going to go with any particular type of person or anything like that, other than there are bad actors. Yeah. And as the platform has exploded, these bad actors, they've always been out there and they've always been able to figure out how to game the system, right? And the same thing happened with Google. So before 2010, when I got into Amazon, I was into slightly into Google Ads, but mostly into SEO for local businesses. So I would get local businesses on the first page for their top keywords using local listings and stuff like that. So Google Places at that time. So Google Business today, right? So the same thing happened there. You know, the same thing happened with SEO. You back in the day, you used to be able to just stuff every keyword you ever wanted into the bottom of your website page and make that the same color, the font, the same color as the background. Boom. Yahoo and Google would pick that up and you'd be like, oh yeah, I am the leading knowledgeable person on this thingy, right? So it's always going to be that way in Amazon, and Amazon's always going to be evoluting towards handling that. And the best way to, I mean, I think that there's a point of revenue where these people come in, right? And I would say, don't let that stop you from hitting that point. Always, always be attaining greater success. It's just another hurdle for you, right? And at that point, you should probably handle things prior to getting to that point with, like, getting your trademark and getting, I can't even remember of all the names of the programs right now, but transparency and what's the little label? No, that's the transparency. But there's a bunch of Amazon programs to protect
your brand. Like all brand registry and all the things that give you as much protection as possible for your brand, right?
Yeah. If you're scaling up to numbers where you're going to be very successful, you should have those in place, because the more protection you have, look, let's be honest, it shouldn't be a problem in the first place. If you own your brand, you should have complete and utter control over your brand, but you don't, right? So you have to spend a bunch of money with Amazon to get partial control of your brand. So, but you should do those things, protect yourself. Did that answer your question?
Well, it does. And so, and this is kind of a natural pivot, Dana, into the, like, okay, you know, it used to be that the kind of gray hat tactic was to stuff keywords in the same font and same color as your screen on a website 10 years ago. And Google picked it up and they hadn't figured it out and it was great. And that stopped working. And so what happens with these, kind of to go back to the thread of somebody who's trying to find a way to hack the profit stream of your business, is going to have to get smarter at their craft, just like you and I are getting smarter at ours.
Right.
And so one of the things that you brought to my attention when we were talking a couple of weeks ago was, whether you guys like this news or not, you've got bad guys that are in particular attacking the review quality of your listings on Amazon.
You do.
And for me, that was kind of news. I mean, I knew that occasionally you'd have somebody like maliciously leave you a one-star review, but like, obviously, this is kind of veering into exactly where you guys are focused right now. But like, tell me about what's happening on that side of it with the bad actors.
Yeah. So let's think of this as purely a business investment, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how to get a hold of these companies that will go and do this review attacks and stuff like that, but they exist. I know that much, right?
Right.
Brandon Young had a video that he showed me where he was walking through one of these ones. I was like, okay, that's a real place. People on a computer with access to thousands of buyer accounts. So let's say you and I both sell this dongle, right?
Okay.
And manufactured at the same place. We have our pricing, whatever. But we're always vying for position one, right? Okay. I know that you currently have a 4.5 rating And in order to blast you down to a 4.4 or 4.3, it's going to require, say, 100 negative reviews, right? Now, this is an extreme example, though we've seen this, right? So I pay a company $10,000 to blast you over the course of a week's time with 100 negative reviews, right? I've done the math. I think that's going to knock you down. Now I'm going to take pole position, and that could be worth $10,000 a day in revenue, easy, right? Or more. And we had one client there. They increased after we did an escalation case with Amazon, which is where we actually locate this black hat stuff and package it up and send it up. We got 177 critical reviews removed for a client. But the kicker was, is not only did we remove those 177 negative reviews, we removed the 5-star reviews that the competitor was getting from these accounts because they were blasting all their competition. And we got those accounts banned by Amazon. And so, of course, our customer now has a more true representation of what their brand is. They go up to the pole position, their income increases by $20,000-$30,000 a week, something like that.
I mean, this is really important, Dana, because, like, you know, you and I have been around the software space and Amazon again for a few years now, and it is not novel for you and me to talk about needing to hire a consultant. Let's say we have a TOS issue in terms of service. We may bring in an outfit to help us untangle an issue. We may have a listing catalog issues. What we fail to see is that our competitors, especially the guys that really live in this black hat area, are spending money. They have sophisticated players. There's a version of an agency somewhere in the world that is charging your competitors bukus of dollars, and they're getting a positive ROI on that investment to come attack and destroy the validity of your listing. Because when your listing gets suppressed by Amazon, their listing wins. And so it behooves us to be aware of that and then to, you know, be zealous about fighting that attack, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And now let's also not discount the fact that there are legitimate reviews, legitimate buyers that leave reviews that have nothing to do with the product. They could be completely opinion related, or they could be medical advice, or they could say, my doctor said blah, 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 blah. Well, you can't put that up there. Is it shipping related? You know, hey, I ordered this and I missed my wedding because my shoe didn't show up, right? Nobody buys one. Not many people buy one shoe, but shoes, let's say, right? So my shoes didn't show up, so I couldn't show up to the wedding, and so I missed it, and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's FBA and shipping related, so that doesn't belong there. There is a very, very large list of what is and is not allowed to be in a review, and so we will go after all of those.
Actually, that's really important to know, because that's right. We have kind of the black hat bad guys. Like, you can almost think about them like there's a mafia out there that is maliciously attacking you. But then there's also the customer who legitimately is pissed off. She's hacked off because she didn't get her product in enough time, or the box was beat to hell, or whatever it was. And once you unpack the case, you realize that, hey, wait a minute, I actually received an FBA reimbursement for this because the carrier damaged it, or the product had been mislabeled by Amazon. Why am I getting punished with this 1-star review? I get that she's pissed off. She needs to be pissed off, but that was a false review based on Amazon's TOS. And so I didn't realize that. Like, so this is something that you can actually take action on as a seller to have Amazon remove those reviews. Is that right?
You can. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, you absolutely can. Now, that being said, of all of our customers, they average. So let's say you've got 100 critical reviews, right? And you go after, say, 10 of them that you think don't belong there. Of all of our customers, and we work with some of the largest Amazon sellers on Amazon.com, they had around either a 1% or less success rate at getting these reviews removed. And 1% is good for the seller, that is, to have a 1% success rate, which is very unfortunate. Like, look, I'm going to be totally candid with you. TraceFuse should not need to exist. But then you could say that about Helium 10 and Jungle Scout and Managed by Stats and Seller Investigators and Gatita and all these companies out there that help Amazon sellers, Riverbend Consulting, right? We should have a customer service. Like, back in my day, I had a person that I could call in Arizona who worked at a call center for Amazon when I had Seller Central help. And then one day that phone number was disconnected. And I found out that that call center had been shut down and everything had been moved overseas. And now those people have 43 minutes of experience on Amazon for the most part. And they're reading from a script and you can hear them turning the pages sometimes. Not literally, but you know, they're like, you ask a question, they go, yes. Okay, and here is your answer. You know they're searching for the answer, right?
That's right.
So then you've got SaaS Core, right? Where you pay for a dedicated customer service person. Why do we have to pay for customer service, right? Amazon's already charging us 30%+ of revenue. And I don't get me wrong, like I'm happy to pay that. They bring the customers, they have the marketplace, they have the infrastructure, right? But we should have good customer service. Companies like ours should not have to exist. But Amazon's such a massive beast that they do, and we do, and we need to be here, right? And you know, it's great because there's profitability for the people that create these companies, and there's profitability for the people that use these companies, right? So it's just unfortunate that a seller who knows how to sell, who's been selling a long time, even a short time, and they know what it is that's wrong, and they can give context to Amazon about what's wrong, gets ignored, right? Because that's what happens most of the time, is they just get ignored, or their case gets resolved. These days, you can't even submit review removals to seller support. They just tell you, yeah, you need to go to community help, and we can't help you here. And that's only recently. That's only in like the last 2 months. So, you know, I've gone on a little bit of a tangent here. Maybe you can see I have a little bit of emotion behind this.
No, of course. No, it's so, you know, and we did a study, by the way, Dana, and like, I think your low 30% is conservative. We did a study a year or so ago, and our clients at one point had upwards of 40% of their entire P&L was the combination of FBA fees, storage fees, the 15% Amazon commission, plus the actual advertising.
Yeah.
And in no other business on the planet, could you think about this? If you're a $1 million seller, that means $400,000 is going to Bezos. And no other business on the planet could you pay that much money to a core partner and them not provide any customer support for you. But to your other point, Amazon still generates, I think it's like 4-to-1 better return on ad spend than any other platform out there. It's like not even close. Like it's so much better. There's so many more buyers with money ready to pull the trigger.
Yeah. It's because they have buying intent when they're searching. Google, right. They're looking for information. Amazon, they're looking to buy.
Totally. And you think about this, like it almost like submitting a case with Amazon, now that they do have these disjointed departments, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. If you get the person, you may not get the person that has the authority. Like if they're nice to you, they probably don't have the authority to get you what you want. And if they're not nice to you, they might have the authority, but now they don't like you. And so I think it's almost like if you were having to deal with the IRS or something like that.
Oh my gosh, I was totally going to say that. It's like being a W-2 employee where you're paying income tax and Social Security and blah, 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 and sales tax. And then you end up, you find out towards the end of your life, if you get interested in finance at all, that you're working 60% of your life for the government.
Oh boy, this is just taking a depressing turn, but unfortunately this is true. But you know, it's funny, like let's say you had a dispute with the IRS, Amazon similar. Checking the right boxes, having the right syntax, having the right sequence, having the right documentation.
Spelling even.
Is really crucial. And I think that's why outfits like yours, like TraceFuse, have to exist. Because like you mentioned, this is a case study, the seller on his or her own is going to get that 1% happiness factor. If I have 100 reviews, I may be able to get one of them changed or removed or improved. I'm just curious, like, give me kind of a juxtaposition there. If you bring in a professional, if you have somebody that knows what they're doing that can attack these review removals the correct way, like what is y'all's track record? How does that compare to what a seller would get on their own?
Yeah, fair question. So our success rate at removing negative reviews is 5. It depends on the category. It depends on sales volume and blah, 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 blah. But it's 5 to 15% of all of your critical reviews. And just, this is not often defined. And I, look, I've been selling a long time. I didn't really understand this myself because I'd never truly looked into it. But there's ratings and reviews. And a rating is the star rating and or a written review. And a review, most notably a critical review, is a written 1, 2, or 3-star review. So you may have 10,000 ratings, but you'll likely have 2,000 reviews, right? And those reviews are the only ones that anybody can do anything about, because there has to be something written that violates their terms of service.
Got it. No, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Well, guys, I just want to put this on your radar. I mean, again, I don't know of another outfit that does this well. And I do know that Trace Fuse and his team do this extremely well. So like, here's the no-brainer side of this. If in the same way, we figured this out like 5 years ago when Seller Refunds and Gatita and these other outfits came on the market, we realized, oh my gosh, we're missing an important part. There's a leak in our bucket. And that leak was related to like refunds managers and lost FBA shipments and stuff like that. I believe there's another leak that we're becoming aware of here, Danan, with your company, where there is there's the right way. We're talking about guys that are doing things the wrong way, potentially. My understanding of your business is that you guys are 100% white hat, right? You guys are doing this correctly. Right. Am I right?
Yeah. Our business is founded on being white hat. We're going after the black hat stuff, but we are a white hat company. And all we do in its most basic form, all we do is look at your reviews, gather the information, find out what's written there, compare that to Amazon's terms of service and community guidelines, and submit this to Amazon saying, this violates this part, please remove this review. In practice, it's a whole different story.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and this is really where we started this conversation. There are parts of your business that are really making you a lot of money and are in your comfort zone. And there are parts of your business that you probably need to outsource and bring a pro in, because they're not going to be that core strength, that core competency of you as an operator. And I think this could be one of those. So again, this is not necessarily a commercial for Trace Fuse. I just want you guys to know, I like these guys. They do a good job. If they want to get a hold of and learn more about your services and how you guys help them, how would they do that?
So you'd go to tracefuse.ai/seller-accountant.
Okay.
And what that does is it's going to give, basically this is for the listeners of your podcast. These are for your people. So they will get a $500 discount off of their first invoice. So it's tracefuse.ai/seller-accountant.
Okay. And we'll make sure that link is in all of the show notes, all the platforms, YouTube, and on your various podcast players. So you guys can catch up with that. And that's awesome. That's a really generous offer. So $500 off if you guys use our link. So feel free to do that. Feel free to take advantage of that example. Anything else? Let me pivot the conversation this way. So listen, dude, you and I have kids. Your kids are smaller than my kids. Having small kids has a future. But when you're not wrangling babies, like, what is it that you do for fun, man? What is it that gets you out of bed and gets you excited about life?
I'm a big off-road 4x4 dirt bike, if possible, adventure rider. I'm an outdoors guy. Okay. Yeah. That's my favorite
thing. And so Land Rover, like what's your favorite thing? Is it like those big vehicles like that?
Well, yeah. So I used to do it in a Tundra, and I got pretty good at moving that thing around. I could thread that thing like a needle, never crashed into any trees that I'll admit to. But I got rid of that and I got a Land Rover LR3, and that has been just the most perfect platform in my opinion. But I'll tell you this, it's no Toyota. It, like, I need to put probably $15,000 into it right now just for maintenance, because I'm reasonably certain I'm going to be losing my transmission soon. But it hasn't failed me yet. Well, the transmission hasn't, but last time I took it out, I broke down on the trail, and it was just two issues. My alternator grenaded in the middle of the trail, probably because I doused it too many times, even though it was brand new. And then the other thing is that my suspension is on the fritz. So I don't have springs and shocks like most cars. It's airbags and lines and compressor and holding tank and stuff like that. And it's like driving a marshmallow, and I love driving a marshmallow. But I love eating marshmallows too sometimes. But, you know, there's a lot of failure points.
Oh, like that's, by the way, I think that's fascinating. I'm not in that subculture. I respect. I've never driven anything that hasn't been fun, you know, so that's something I'll have to explore next time I see you. So, okay. So final question for the audience here, do this every episode. Like, listen, we're guaranteeing people a return on their investment. Like, they're giving us their time here, and I want to make sure that if they listen to this, they're going to get some value. So what's the one life hack, habit, practice that's given you max ROI in your life, Dana?
Helping others, 100%, hands down, helping others.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just like giving your life away to help other people, good things tend to happen, that kind of thing?
Sort of. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've had some very, very interesting occurrences in my life that I don't consider good. But, you know, I'll give you like the elevator pitch about me is I'm FEMA certified for disaster response, and I actively do that whenever I can afford to leave the family and stuff like that. So I spent 20 days after Hurricane Dorian digging out things and cutting things up and help delivering food and water and stuff like that. I help Amazon sellers to the best of my ability, 'cause that's the area that I'm in. You know, as well as I do, when you're in this for a long time and you talk to people and you network, you get a network. And if you don't, like, you might as well use that network to help others. So previously, actually, this is one thing I just got to cover real quick. I know we're coming on time here, but last week, you had to have at least 500 critical reviews to qualify for TraceFuse. This week, you don't. So that was something I really, like, 60% of the people I was talking to didn't qualify for TraceFuse. And so I just start surveying them like, what? I can't help you with this, and I'm so sorry, and I know you need it, but we don't have the capacity for it yet, which we do now. So I would just ask them, how else can I help you? And, you know, you know, Lindsay, she's my executive assistant, and you've worked with her before. She'll tell you, like, I have lists of people that I know that I go, okay, these guys are good at this. These guys are good at this. And like, it's not for the affiliate commission. Most of these, nearly all of them, I don't even have affiliates. And most of them, I just do direct intros into. I don't use the affiliate link. It's more to help the person in front of me, you know? So I do that. Of course, I help my children as I can, but I think they help me more than I help them. But, and in the off-road market, like I have a YouTube channel, and I started to do that originally for my brand. I do knives, which you can see up on the wall over there. So those are all handmade knives over there. And I started a YouTube channel for that to then place those knives. And it turned into something completely different, where I became an ambassador for an outdoors and off-road group, and then ended up just helping people with their off-road rigs. They go, okay, I've got this. What do I need? They're like, tires. You just need tires. Don't worry about anything else. Just get tires, right? And don't get me wrong, you've got these $150,000 pavement princesses rolling around that, you know, don't go off-road and look great and blah, 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 and have every bell and whistle. But, and that's what people see on YouTube, right? It's like the bells and whistles in the $100,000 vehicles. And you go, you don't need that. You don't need that at all. So helping hands down, helping others. And, but you also need a network to be able to help, right? So networking, but use that to lead to helping others.
I love it. I can see too. First of all, it's good advice. I mean, one of my mentors always said your net worth is your network. And so I think investing in relationships is a huge hack. And then I think having a service mission mindset, which I definitely hear in your voice there, Danian, is like life can be, it doesn't matter what you're selling. All of us are selling something, whether we're selling products on Amazon or whether we're in the services business, whatever we're doing with our lives, we're selling ideas to our kids, whatever it is. If we don't have a clear mission and a clear purpose, a cause, then life can be kind of dull. And so I think that's another great hack, man. Well, Danian Coleman, Trace Fuse, brother, thank you so much for joining Return on Podcast today. We'll definitely have to have you back at some point. Man, my absolute pleasure. And for you guys who have made it, listen, you've made it 35 minutes into this episode. Danian and I just want to sincerely thank you. This is a gift. It's a gift to us that you would take this time with us. We hope you grab some nuggets, glean some things. Of course, I'll have the links where you can reach out to Danian and learn more about Trace Fuse and their services. I think that's a really good option, kind of a nice passive option to increase your profitability, your cash flow. I love increasing profitability and cash flow. That's one of my things. And so until we see you guys next week, have a fantastic week. Go kill it.
You know what? Sorry to interrupt you, Tyler. There's just one more thing. You said this earlier, know your numbers, right? Mm-hmm. The next thing that needs to happen is know what to do with them.
I love it.
And a lot of people don't.
Know what to do with them. Closing thought. Appreciate it, buddy.
Love it. Thanks, man. Bye, bye.